And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have the education chair for the Delaware chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Hillary May. Hillary, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, absolutely anytime. The AFSP has been on many times in the past, and you know, many months ago, it seems, the chapter came on to talk about the future shutdown, the shelter in place that we were going through. And now here we are months later. And so let me ask you, how's it been going for you there?
Well, for me, it hasn't been too bad. I've been really lucky that I have a nice, you know, warm place to stay when it was cold, and now a nice air conditioned place now that it's blazing hot. So I've been pretty lucky, but I think it's really important for me, at least, to have been taking extra care of my mental health, as I'm sure a lot of people have found, especially since the beginning of this shutdown, that taking care of ourselves and our mental health, self-care, all of that is becoming even more important as we are confined to our own four walls.
AFSP, obviously, you want to give us your mission statement, and then let's talk about your mission as regarding mental health. So take it away.
Absolutely. So the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is the largest private funder of suicide research in the country, which is super exciting because that means that we are at the forefront of all sorts of developments in terms of various treatments and interventions. We do different trainings. We have suicide prevention trainings for parents and teachers, and we have student versions, school versions that we do, and we, you know, take to different organizations to try and help really just educate the general population on what we can do as individuals to help combat this epidemic that is suicide, not only in our nation, but across the world. And so that's our mission. That is our goal with AFSP, is to really try and educate as many people as possible on the warning signs, on how to seek help or seek help for someone you know and love. As well as we have a current mission that we're on right now called Project 2025, which our goal is to decrease the rate of suicide by 20% by 2025. And we are well on our way to doing that, which is incredibly exciting. But we are just working every day in every chapter across the country to try and spread this message of unitedness and openness, and, you know, knowing that there are people to turn to and places to go for help if you or someone you know needs it.
When you say research, we can obviously think that, well, obviously mm-hmm. they're doing research into COVID-19. They do research on this. But when you say for suicide prevention, one of the key words you said, though, was it was intervention. And is that how your work with just general mental health falls into it?
Yeah. So when we say we do research on different interventions, we mean things like our suicide prevention trainings. So something that we can do as an organization to intervene in the community and give them more information, give them more resources. And so that's what we are always trying to do, and develop new interventions like those trainings to help sort of promote our message and really get that information out there.
I guess that over the years, it'd be like drug prevention, and they'd find out that, okay, this DARE didn't work the way that they mm-hmm. thought it was working. They Just Say No didn't work quite the way. So intervention itself has changed over the years.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's very similar to DARE programs and things like that. You put something out there that you really want to be helpful, and then you take a look at it on the back end in terms of outcomes and things like that, and then you make changes. And so we're always working to improve our tools. Luckily, they've been more successful than the DARE program has been, but we still are always looking to improve. We're always looking for not only new people to come and join our trainings, but also feedback from them as well.
The mission has been to help people who have been affected by suicide, and that could be someone who has lost someone to a suicide, or someone who has survived a suicide attempt. Do you want to throw some numbers at us right now?
Sure. Well, so we know right now that 1 in 5 people actually in the United States have a mental health condition. And when we leave those conditions unaddressed, they have some potentially very serious impacts on our life. And that can come either through physical health, because there's such a strong connection between our physical and mental health, as well as the possibility of experiencing suicidal ideation and other negative effects mentally and, like I mentioned, physically. And so that's why we really need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, doing that self-care that you see all over the place, which is fantastic that we've been talking more about it lately, and to make sure that we ask for help if we feel overwhelmed or disconnected, because what's the truth of the matter is mental health is a really important aspect of our whole health as a human being. And while we tend to be pretty good about taking care of our physical health, or at least we know how to if we need to, whether it's a headache or a broken bone, we often forget to take care of things like our brains, because many of these mental illnesses, all of these mental illnesses, have physical aspects to them that really make them, you know, physical disorders in some cases that we can really get in and tackle if we just know how to access that care.
And obviously, this does not just pertain to one bit of the population. It could be someone who is not self-isolating right now, but feeling guilt that they are out, or someone who's overstressed by fear of what is out there. And it knows no economic or ethnic or age restriction.
Absolutely. I think it's incredibly important to remember that every single individual's experience is different. We all have, you know, our different experiences in life, as well as with the COVID-19 crisis and isolation. And with that comes a whole package of different experiences and emotions, and the way we interpret these emotions based on our life experiences prior to maybe the epidemic. And so, like you said, exactly, it's every single individual has something that they can be focusing on or something that might be impacting them adversely in terms of their mental health. And so if we know how to recognize these changes in ourselves, and we know how to sort of access that emotional information that we're feeling and how to process that and how to work with that to create a better lifestyle for ourselves, then we're going to come out the other end more successful.
Over the years, I mean, it's been pounded in the warning signs that someone may be struggling or having those suicidal thoughts. Are they the same, or how do they differ when maybe it's you're at that tipping point and your mental health is being affected by your circumstances? What are some of the warning signs of just failing or declining mental health?
Yeah, there are a lot of changes that we can see. And this isn't only in other people, but you can also start to notice them in yourself. And you're probably going to be one of the first people to notice a change because you live with yourself 100% of the time. So even if you notice these things in yourself, the first thing that I want to say is nothing is ever too small. I know when I originally went through my own battle with depression, my first thought was other people have it worse, right? That's what we think all of the time. But there's nothing that's too small for you to go and talk to somebody about or seek help for, because even just that little improvement can make you so much happier. So a couple of the things to look out for are changes in usual behavior patterns. So this could be increases in drug or alcohol use or abuse. This could be an increase in sort of risky behaviors, changes in sleep, and that could be to either extreme. So if you're used to sleeping until 1 p.m. and now you can't seem to sleep at all, or vice versa, those are things to think about. And that also goes with your eating habits. You go from not eating very much in the morning or afternoon or whatever your normal pattern is, and now it's totally flip-flopped. And also your energy. If you find yourself, you're usually very energetic and now you just feel dragging. These are all behavioral changes that we want to look for both in ourselves and others, as well as sort of the hallmark things that you see a lot of times in on TV when they talk about, you know, mental health disorders, which are social withdrawal, isolation, more so than we have to right now, right? And lack of communication. So one way to sort of combat those things is make sure that you're reaching out to people that you know and love, trying your best to stay connected virtually, because human connection is such an important thing for us as human beings to have that healthy connection. And then we also look for changes in mood. So anger, a short temper, changes in your level of interest of certain activities that you enjoy or used to enjoy. And these are all, again, different from the norm. So everybody has days that they feel a little off. Everybody has days where they're a little cranky. But this is talking about more consistent irritability and consistent changes in mood.
So you wake up and you are a total jerk one day. that's passing. But if it's consistent, then that's when you start to be concerned.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, as you can imagine, all of these things are connected, right? So you wake up one day and you're a little bit irritable, but then it's because you haven't slept very well for a week and now your mood is getting affected. And it's all these things, like I mentioned earlier, your mental and your physical health are really interconnected. And so getting a lack of sleep, which causes you to be irritable, which then makes you sort of eat a little bit differently because you're waking up and sleeping differently, and just your whole atmosphere around the way you're living changes.
That sounds like a tipping point or a vicious circle, a cycle that once it begins, is it just intervention at some point that is going to then stop the process, and maybe you don't move on to that next step and that next step, and you don't cycle down into true depression?
Absolutely. It is a vicious cycle. And I think the one thing, it starts kind of like what I mentioned, there's nothing that's too small, and there's no time that's too early to start looking at changing your habits. And so no matter what it is that's going on for you, there are a ton of different ways that you can change these habits or work on your lifestyle. And it's really important to note that this is going to be different for every individual. So some individuals have found great success with medical medication interventions, and that has been super helpful for them. Others, it's just getting outside more, getting sun on your face, because we know that having that vitamin D is really, really good for your mood and promotes, different brain chemistry things. I won't get into all of that, but some people it's just being outside. Some people it's, having a phone call with a friend or loved one that just gets their spirits up. And it's just anything you can do that makes you feel more calm, more comfortable, and then you can take that energy that you've gotten from that activity and work on other things.
And of course, as we're discussing all of this, I'm going to remind everybody about this about a dozen times through. If you are concerned about yourself, or you're concerned about someone you love, your neighbor, your friend, or the guy who delivers the newspaper, or the lady who does that, help is 24/7. Around the clock, it is available to you at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 800-273-TALK. That's 273-TALK. Or you can always text the word TALK to 741-741. And that, too, is 24/7. You can get help, a live person on the other end of that. That's TALK to 741-741. And we'll post that, and we will keep mentioning that throughout this. So if you're hearing this and you're saying, this sounds like me, is it as easy as making those changes in your behavior to try and break the pattern? What can we do if we find ourselves and we recognize ourselves in this discussion?
Yeah, there are so many things that you can do. And I think, honestly, contacting one of those lines, even if you're not in a direct crisis situation, I would suggest texting the line, but there's somebody on the other end who can really hear what you specifically are feeling and going through and give you suggestions based on that. Because there are, like I said, so many different experiences and so many different ways of dealing with this, and things that might work for some people that don't for others. And so this is like you said, a warm-bodied person on the other side with professional experience and training who can take the information you give them and sort of help you right along the way. Like I said, you don't have to be in crisis. These lines are not only perfect for people who really do need assistance right away. That's where I would definitely go for the call line. But this text line is also for individuals who maybe just want help figuring out what to say to the person that they're concerned about, how to start that conversation. These are trained professionals who are here to help you help yourself or help others.
Speak a little bit about those professionals on the other end. And they are volunteers, are they not?
Yes, they are trained volunteers.
And they have to go through a heck of a lot of training, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Most oftentimes, they're people who are in the mental health field. They just aren't this specific job of working with the crisis text line or a national hotline isn't their paid gig, if you will. It's more of their volunteer that they do on the side, but they are most often still mental health professionals. Either way, they have extensive training in suicide prevention and intervention and things like that.
And they are able to help you if you are dealing with that third party. If you can call and get help for somebody else, because you said it, starting the conversation is probably the hardest part of this whole mess.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we talk about in our suicide prevention training that is people kind of shrug off, but is so important, is saying the words, "Are you thinking about suicide?" for the first time. It's incredibly difficult. You never think you're going to have to say that out loud. And so we recommend people practice it in their car or in their mirror, which sounds strange, but having said it out loud before makes it so much easier when you're in a situation where you might actually need to use those words to save someone's life.
And you really can save someone's life with just a few words, just asking, how are you feeling? And have you been thinking about suicide? And for those trained volunteers, I already gave you that number, but let's start off with this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, Hillary May. She is Education Chair for the Delaware Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And you can reach the AFSP very easily. Just go to AFSP.org. Wherever you may be hearing this, AFSP.org is the portal that can actually get you to where your local chapter is, whether it be to help or to ask for help. AFSP.org. And for the Delaware chapter, it's AFSP.org/Delaware. But again, help is always available. You can call them, trained volunteers waiting to hear from you 24/7 at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-TALK. That's 273-TALK. Or you can text TALK to 741-741. And that's the easiest thing of all, because, you know, when you get that response right away, you hear ding, there is somebody on the other end engaging with you. And that's very important, that engagement. 741-741. I mentioned earlier that suicide knows no age limits. How are young people and children, because I hate to say this, but death by suicide is happening younger and younger and younger, it seems. And children are going through just sometimes worse situations in isolation than the adults are, with different sets of coping skills. So how are kids doing right now?
Well, to be totally honest and throw some numbers out there, actually, and a lot of people don't really realize just how serious this crisis is for young people, but death as a result of suicide is the third leading cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 15, which is incredible. And especially during this time that is even more difficult, with all of the uncertainty in the world, as well as right now with children going back to school, whether it's in person or virtually, we really need to be focusing on our children and supporting them. And I know that that can be scary when you don't even know what to do yourself most of the time. But it's really as easy as just listening to them and what they're feeling and experiencing, reassuring them, reminding them that you're going through the same things, that you all have this experience of that might be scary, that's uncertain. And then creating these different opportunities maybe for them to socialize with their friends or with other family members to just help them, just as you would help yourself to not feel as isolated. Especially if you have children in your life who have existing mental health conditions, this uncertainty is definitely something that can exacerbate that a bit. So like we encourage for our adults, we also encourage for kids getting regular sleep, eating, get exercise, and always seek professional help if you feel that you need it or even if you just want it. There are plenty of people who do teletherapy, which is a virtual form of therapy. You have the hotlines that you can text or call. There's also a number of online chat resources that you can talk to a professional. Plenty of avenues to go down to support your children as well as yourself.
I think there's a myth I hope it's a myth, that if you bring up the term suicide to someone, you might put it in their mind. And I suspect that a lot of parents or guardians don't want to even bring it up for fear that maybe their child hadn't thought that yet. And that's not true, is it?
No, absolutely not. And that's something that we also talk about. I know I mentioned earlier saying the words, "Are you thinking about suicide for the first time?" And so many people who have heard that myth that you were just talking about, that, well, if I say the word suicide and they weren't thinking about it, then now they're going to be thinking about it. And it's absolutely not true. That is oftentimes the best thing you can say to someone, because if they are thinking about it, they're already there and you have just asked the best and most important question you could ask. But if they're not thinking about taking their own life, let's say you or I, who I assume are not experiencing suicidal ideation in this moment, to think about losing your life, taking your own life, which is something so precious to all of us, it just doesn't seem fathomable. And so if they're not in that crisis point where they're experiencing suicidal ideation, they will tell you, "Oh no, that's not something that I am thinking about right now." But now they know that you are truly invested in their well-being, and they're much more likely to open up to you in the future as well.
In speaking to family members, people who have lost someone to suicide, and their final acceptance that this person was hurting so much. It wasn't a punishment to me, but this person was hurting so much that this was the option that they took. And when you are dealing with somebody and they say, "I am hurting, and the only way out is this way," how do you then respond? You've asked that question. You open the can of worms, and then you find out that someone, or maybe it's you, and you're hearing this and you think, "Yes, I am in such pain that this is what I am thinking as a cure." What do you do?
If you are in that situation and you hear that from someone, especially someone you know and love, that can be, first of all, very scary to hear. And also, it's very serious. And that's the first thing I would say to that individual is, "This is really serious. Would you mind if we get some extra help?" Because most people aren't trained mental health professionals and they don't have all the answers in that moment. And so if you can just talk to that person and say, "I know that this is a line we can call. Let's sit down. Let's do this together." Make sure that that person knows that you are in it with them, that, you care about them, that you're not going to leave them alone, because that's something that so many people who are in that crisis point feel. They feel so much pain. They feel so alone in their pain, that if you could just talk to them, listen to them, let them know that you're there for them and that you are there to help them through, whether it's sitting down and calling the lifeline with them or even taking them to an emergency room if it's that serious of an event, as well as all the first steps that you can do to getting help for your loved one.
So keeping that number handy, because you never know when this conversation will come up. And that is, again, 800-273-TALK, 273. That's all you have to remember, 273, because then the word TALK. And you can always text TALK to 741-741. You have programs that you have created for schools. You will talk to organizations. You have all of this programming. There are peer groups, the volunteer hotlines. It all takes money. Advocacy work takes money. Education takes money. And every year you have the Out of the Darkness Walk. But this year, of course, everything has changed. And it's something even more special this year, I believe. It's going to be an experience that, you don't have to get up early in the morning and show up and do. We can all participate with you. You want to talk about what's Delaware going to do for their experience?
Yeah, normally right now we would be getting ready for our Dover and Wilmington Out of the Darkness Walks. But this year, our event is going to look a little bit different, but it's going to be just as great. I promise you, I'm so excited about it. So for the first time ever, we're creating a 3-month-long Delaware Out of the Darkness experience. And that motto will be "Delaware Together to Fight Suicide." So we kicked the experience off with a 6-week wellness challenge that started at the beginning of August, but you can still join until September 13th. We also launched what's called the Hope in the Mailbox campaign, where we encourage everyone to send a hopeful message to their friends and family. And throughout the next few weeks, those who are interested can join in on our training sessions, our mindfulness workshops, and all of the other events we have going on. We also encourage all participants still to walk, because this is a walk experience normally. So we'll all be out walking on our own on October 17th and 18th during our Delaware Together to Fight Suicide weekend. It won't be a walk with hundreds of people gathered together, but you can still walk your own way, do any other activity that makes you feel great. It's your experience, but we're all doing it together while we are apart. So we've also teamed up with you all, of course, to help with this and raise awareness, which is super fantastic. And we are so excited to be doing this with you all.
And of course, that's the great thing about the 17th and 18th is, as I said, you don't have to get up super early or make a cute poster, but it would be great if you did. And you can go out there, you can walk around the block, you can walk around the park, you can walk on your treadmill or up and down your stairs or whatever, but you can still do the out of the darkness walk, but it's just a little bit different this year. You're going to walk together separately.
Absolutely. And you can find information about all of the different events that I mentioned, all the different activities on afsp.org/DETogether. So that's where you'll find all of that information, afsp.org/DETogether.
And your website is an absolutely wonderful resource for anyone. And if you are concerned about yourself, you're concerned about someone else, or if you're looking to volunteer because you do need volunteers.
Yeah, there are tons of things that you can do absolutely for free. Of course, we warmly accept all donations, of course, but there are tons of things that we can do to be advocates for suicide prevention that's completely free. You can sign up to be what's called a field advocate, where you'll get an email that says, hey, legislation is looking to pass this bill that is awesome for suicide prevention. It's great for mental health. We would love if you would email your state senator about it. And we give you a template and everything. That's a great resource to be a mental health advocate that is totally free. There's also places to sign up to be a volunteer in your state, in your chapter, and a ton of other opportunities, which are all on that website, as well as a number of other resources. Like you mentioned, maybe for people who have lived experience or who have lost someone that they know and love as a result of suicide, our organization actually began as a group for suicide survivors. So we still have programs connecting people together who have had similar losses. And so you can find access to those programs online as well. It's a fantastic resource. Highly recommend everyone check out afsp.org at least once.
And of course, to get to the Delaware chapter, just go to afsp.org/Delaware. It's a couple of weeks into it. There's still plenty of time to get fit, to have a lot of fun, and join in all of the experiences that are going to be part of this year's Out of the Darkness experience. Delaware Together is the name of it. And again, you can find out more about it if you go to afsp.org/DETogether. And gosh darn it, if you want to form a team to do those treadmill walks and raise money for them, you're just a pip. Do that. A lot of good work done here, and it does take funds. And Delaware Together is going to help support all of these wonderful programs throughout the year. And for more information, always about anything about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, go to afsp.org. afsp.org/Delaware or /DETogether for information about the Delaware chapter. Hillary, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed getting to talk with you about all of these things. Of course, it's something that I know and love, but I hope everyone else does now too.
You do wonderful work, absolutely amazing work. And with one in five of us will experience some type of a mental health issue. Just intervention, talk, conversation. Don't be afraid to just ask and say the words. And there is always help available for those uncomfortable conversations. Call them anytime, day or night, 1-800-273-TALK. That's 273-TALK, or text TALK to 741-741. And all of that information is available too at AFSP.org. Hillary May, Education Chair for the Delaware Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, my guest. Thank you again. You're always welcome back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.